Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Last school year, the Illinois High School Association declared the sport of eight-man football an emerging sport, and one of the people involved in this effort is the coach of the Giants of Alden Hebron High School. They're located in northern Illinois, up near the Wisconsin border. I think five schools participated in eight-man football this year, including Alden Hebron. And Coach Lawler, good morning. It sounds like some interest is building for eight-man football, at least up your way.
Yeah, good morning, Jim. It's nice to be on with you again. Yeah, it's there's a lot of questions being asked, and I think a lot of the smaller schools up our way, after they saw, you know, what we did this season playing with it and keeping our programs alive and doing, you know, having a regular football season and that they're definitely taking interest in it. So, yeah, I think there's going to be more to join.
Well, I know when I've talked to coaches, you know, in this area, the majority of them say if it's a way to keep the sport around and viable, I'm for it. But then there's still a few old school guys that say, come on, Taylor, eight-man football sounds a bit hokey. Do you still, I mean, what are kind of the debatable issues that you hear, if any?
Well, Jim, I'll tell you honestly, and I'm glad you brought that up, because even back last year when I went and talked to the IHSA about it, you know, I've been at this a long time, and I had some coaches that I've known for years, I won't say names, and they're like, John, I can't believe, you know, you're pushing. I said, guys, it's still football. You're still blocking, tackling. You know, the field's a little narrower. I said, it's still football, and quite honestly, for some of us smaller schools with the decline and the concerns, it's the only way we're going to keep our programs alive. And if you ask my kids after we went and played Madison Abundant Life from Wisconsin in week one this year, and they were the defending Jamboree champions up there for eight-man football last year, and we almost beat them week one, which made me feel pretty good about our choice and that. And I asked our kids after the game, I said, now, guys, did that feel any different than playing a normal 11-man game? And they're all like, heck no, coach. We're playing football. That's what we want to do. And honestly, once you get past that, hey, it's eight-man, that whole aura, it's football. And the kids are having a good time. Your boosters are getting their concessions. You're getting your gate, you know, for your school. And honestly, you've got your own identities, and it's a great opportunity for the small schools to keep their programs alive.
And let me segue here. Can you kind of give us the logistics of how eight-man football works? Is it a regular 100-yard field? You know, who's eligible on the line of scrimmage? Can you kind of just give us the dynamics of that?
Sure. What I proposed to the IHSA, and I said I don't want this to cost schools money. Now, on a lot of eight-man, in some states they shorten the field down to 80 yards. Well, then you got to move goalposts and things like that. I said let's follow Wisconsin's lead. Let's leave it at 100, but let's narrow it down. You know, you narrow it down to 40 yards, so it's 40 by 100. You're not spending any money moving goalposts. If you do down the road decide to go back to 11-man football, your field's still there. You just move the sidelines back out. So that's the big thing with the field. Obviously, there's only eight players, so what happens is you pull two linemen and one skill guy. So you end up with three linemen, you know, and five skills. The other big thing is jersey numbers don't matter. You could have number 88 playing quarterback or playing center. It doesn't matter. You can put your center on the end as long as he's uncovered off the end. He can go off for a pass after he snaps the ball. Those are really the biggest things. Other than that, a lot of the rules are still the same. You know, pass interference is pass interference, holding still holding. There's a couple rules on special teams, like you have to have you can have no more than four guys to one side of the kicker on kickoffs. On kickoff returns, you got to have three on the front row instead of five. So it's very, very basic. And quite honestly, we've even gotten a lot of good feedback with the officials up north here that have come. I've had some really outstanding crews even ask to come and do one of our games so they can get familiar with it. because they even know that, hey, down the road, we're probably going to be doing some more of these games, so let's go do one of Hebron's games, and so we're up on the rules and that. So it's been good, and it's, like I said, there's probably 6, 7, 8 major rules changes. Otherwise, it's all the same.
So the length of the field remains the same, 100 yards. And for our listening audience, the difference between the width of 8-man is 40 yards, and then what is it for 11-man football then?
It's 52, 53, I think.
Okay, yeah. So here are the schools that played 8-man this year in the emerging sport classification, the Lake Forest Academy, Westminster Christian out of Elgin, Christian Life out of Rockford, the Giants of Alden Hebron, and then the Illinois School for the Deaf in Jacksonville. And I think you filled out, Coach, the rest of your schedule. 8-man football is a definite thing in Wisconsin. So I ask you, the next step is we're playing 8-man football in Illinois. It's declared an emerging sport, which I think is a big issue when you got that declaration by the IHSA last year. Some of the schools that are saying, I got, 21 kids playing football on my varsity roster. Tough to piece something together. Maybe have, 35 kids, freshman through senior. I don't think we can play 11-man at both the JV and varsity level. Maybe this is something we need to start considering. Are you hearing some of those murmurs throughout the state?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I've had... Well, it started about week 7, when we were about week 7 of this year, and you could, I started getting phone calls from schools and coaches that obviously they're a lot like us, where they had to look in the mirror and realize that, hey, we're not the same as we were 10 years ago. I don't have 32 kids out for football anymore. Our numbers are down. We have to do something. And quite honestly, the big factor for me last year when we committed to do this, and I saw this coming, was I have to stop putting my freshmen out there and my sophomores that really aren't ready to play varsity. I have to stop doing that just to make an 11-man varsity game on Friday night, because you start losing those kids, either from injuries or they get beat up so bad that football isn't fun for them anymore, because they're... That 14-year-old isn't ready to go against that 18-year-old kid that's turning into a man. And that is the simple biggest factor that I've seen with this. We're forced at times as small school coach to put those kids in spots where they're really not ready for. And even after all my years of coaching, I've realized that we've been getting away with that for a long time. But now when numbers keep going down, that's the biggest factor, and I think other teams are realizing that, and with roster size, this is a great way that you can say, okay, now with a 20-man roster, I can field a real competitive 8-man team, but I can still line up on Monday night and play 8-man JV games and build the program instead of having the program go down, because kids are losing interest because they're overmatched, So I think that's one of the main factors that schools are looking at it. Christian Life's a great example. I mean, Tony Ambrosio had those guys in the playoffs 2 years in a row. They went out and played Lena. They were very competitive in our conference. Then, they lost a bunch of kids. The first year Shepherd took over 2 years ago there, they were down to having 9-10 kids show up for practices. They barely stayed alive, and they made the choice to go 8-man too. And by the end of this year, they had their numbers back up to 21, 22 kids. So I think that's a main factor in this is you're not overmatching the kids.
Well, and I think you bring up a great point, and I wanted to say amen when you were talking about it. I've been in our area here in some of the programs that are trying to turn it around in some of these small school conferences where their numbers aren't there, and you hear – this debate about, well, they're playing freshmen this year, or they're playing some sophomores, so that means, right, they're going to be good in a couple of years. But then when they play the top half of the conference, and those freshmen and sophomores are getting, mauled by the perennial playoff powers, you're saying, well, why don't I see that kid's name here 2 years down the road when they're juniors or senior And why has this program been stuck in the mud? And why can't it get out? Well, because kids don't like to get beat up and play. If you're, you know, it's one thing to be a freshman and be a varsity player where you earn that spot. It's another thing, a completely different thing, when you're playing by attrition.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And you know, when I took over the program up here a long time ago, we won't even say, but my own cousin Mike from Stillman Valley said, I don't know if you can do it. I don't know if you can turn it around. Because we had had that where we just had gotten beat up so many years. And you know, there was a stretch of 3 or 4 years where we didn't win a game, you know, and I saw that, and I just couldn't stand it anymore. But a lot of that was even happening back then. You know, I could see from the outside, where, you know, those coaches at that time were throwing kids in there that really aren't ready, or they're not doing enough in the off season. Well, when you even have a winning program like we've had for the past, you know, 14, 15 years, even when you start running out, and you've been to the playoffs every year, in and out, and even the quarterfinals, you know, a year or two, you're doing the right things, but you're still running out of those kids, and you're still trying to hide 3 or 4 kids on an 11-man roster that really aren't ready to play. And as a coach, I tell, as you know, most coaches, most good coaches, you can hide 3 or 4. You can't hide 5, 6, 7. You can't do it. And that's when things start going bad. You know, when you realize, man, we're playing way too many young kids. They're getting beat up. Now, by the time that kid gets to the junior or senior year, like you said, either they're hurt, so they've given it up, or they've just lost interest. And now you don't have those kids where you're giving out all the 4-year senior awards at your banquet at the end of the year. Now you're giving out half of those because half of them called it quits. And that's frustrating. You know, as a coach, you want that big senior class, and you want those kids to be 4-year players. But you also can't hold it against them if they're hurt or if they've just gotten annihilated to the fact where football's not fun for them anymore. And I think that's a big factor with this and a lot of small schools. And I think it's just being honest with yourself as a coach, as a program, your administrators, and saying, we've got to try something different here to get the interest back and get this more of a level playing field. And I think this is working. You know, it's just more schools. Once the door opens and a few more try it, they're going to see this is a great option, great option.
Well, and that's kind of a perfect segue, because there are some additional schools that are looking at it, and it's, I know on the, I get the Northwest Upstate Illini divisions crossed up here, but I know it's the small school side with the likes of Apollo and Warren and River Ridge in Orangeville, and I think even Freeport-Aquin was experimenting a little bit at the JV level with 8-man. So is that kind of the next domino maybe to fall?
I believe so. Yeah. I've been in talks with a lot of schools since about week 7 of this past season. You know, a lot of schools calling and asking questions. And quite honestly, you know, Sam Knox from the IHSA has said, hey, call Lawler up at Hebron. He's the guy that's got more answers than we do, quite honestly. And that's fine. You know, I told Sam that's fine. You know, let him call me. And I do have numbers, and I do have some, you know, answers, hopefully, to their questions. So, you know, anybody down your way, if they need information, you know, have them call me, and I can try to give them some answers. But yeah, you're right. Up here, there's 4 or 5 teams on that small side. And let's be honest, that's a good conference of football, you know, big or small. That's been year in and year out, that's been strong. You know, but there are 4 or 5 teams that are very interested in doing this, because I think they even realize to save the program and to grow their program that they might have to make this move. So, yeah, there's a few out there. We might have one join us already next year. But I think once we get one or two to come and realize that this is a good thing for it, I think the doors will open here by about 2019, 2020. I really predict that by 2020, we could have up to 25, 28 teams playing 8-man football in the state of Illinois.
And again, if you want more information, the direct line to Coach Lawler's office is 815-648-1662. That's 815-648-1662. And I know, Coach, even in our area, the Lincoln Trail Conference, when I look at some of the rosters this year, varsity football-wise, where they're really struggling to field a JV team, is that the threshold, you think, where, you know, the small schools need to consider this? If year in and year out they have trouble piecing enough kids together to get a JV team together in 11-man football, that's when they need to start exploring this.
I believe so. I really do feel that way. I know, and just using my experience here at Hebron, you know, when I took over the football program 15 years ago, they were never playing any JV games. And I said, you know, those young kids don't want to just be practice fodder for the high school guys. They don't want to just get in at cleanup time, you know, in a blowout or in a big win. You know, and that's one thing we implemented right away was we've got to have enough kids to play JV, you know, to reward those boys for their hard work. And a lot of us in this conference, the Northeastern Athletic, when we started this 7 years ago, a lot of us have been playing eight-man JV games just to have JV games. So this transition for us hasn't been too big a deal because we've been playing at the JV level for probably 4, 5, 6 years now already. So it hasn't been too big of a deal. But I agree with that. I think when you start looking at that and you see your lower level numbers going down, it's time to start, you know, looking forward and say we've got to do something. I'll tell you the other thing we've done up here is we had a great junior tackle program for a lot of years, and our numbers just started dwindling on that. And some of the areas around the towns around us made their own, so it kind of took some kids away from our little deal. But we've started. I tried tackle football at the junior high, and we were down to 13 kids, you know, 3 years ago. And I said, well, this isn't working either. There's, you know, a lot of scare with concussion. So we started flag football again. Well, last year we started flag just to try to keep the kids involved and maybe ease some of the pressure of the parents' worries. We had 19 kids out last year. This past year, after 2 years of it, we were up to 28 kids in flag football. So I said, you know, somewhere you've got to get the people to give those kids a chance to be confident about playing football and get excited about it again. So even if it's flag, at least they're still out there getting a few of the basics. You know, if they can pull a flag on a kid in open field, by the time we get them in high school, we'll teach them how to tackle in open field. You know, so I said that's been a big thing for us, and some of the schools in the conference have started it too. So we've got our own little conference flag thing going, and it's kind of raised the numbers of interest again. So that's a positive, I guess.
All right, just a couple more questions here. You said you're looking favorably at, you know, hopefully expansion by 2019, 2020. So the next question begs, it's not a emerging sport, it's actual a state tournament series, IHSA sport. When do you think that could happen?
Well, that's a good question, and that's the one that I get asked a lot, because a lot of schools, that seems to be the holdup for them. Even, you know, 2 years ago when I did the survey, you know, to all the schools, that was the big thing. Well, we'll play when the IHSA, you know, recognizes it and there's a playoff. A lot of schools are hung up on that. I could see that, you know, maybe when we hit that 28-32 team mark like Wisconsin did, then maybe I can sit down, you know, with the people downstate and we can figure out a way to put together, you know, a playoff. Now, the thing that we are talking about doing, you know, even next year in 2019, if we get up to 12 teams or 16 teams in the state, maybe we put together a little, you know, like Wisconsin did, a four-team jamboree, you know, and do a little playoff that way, or do kind of like the NCAA is doing, take the top four and play them off, and just, you know, you're not calling them the state champ, but you call them the eight-man jamboree champ. But it gives the kids something to shoot for. Last year, we even did a little extra game at the end of the year between Christian Life and Westminster Christian, and we called it a jamboree game. It was like an extra playoff game for them. So it gives them something to shoot for, you know. And, you know, I could see that, but I think it'll be – there'll have to be 28, 32 teams before the IHSA does that. I might be wrong. Maybe if we show a lot of interest and I could reapproach them and say, hey, let's do an 8-team playoff. You know, just to give those eight-man teams something to shoot for. They might go along with that. I don't know. But I really can't say for sure.
And it's just as far as the adjustment of going from 11-man to 8-man. You mentioned three linemen and one, or basically two less linemen and one less skilled player. Is it that much of an issue then adapting to that type of necessary strategy adjustments with that type of, you know, those type of players on the field?
Not really. As from a coaching standpoint, it's kind of been fun. It's kind of been refreshing. The biggest factor you got to remember is you're going from an odd number with 11 to an even number of 8. So when you come to formations and that, a lot of the biggest key is to try to get that off balance again. You know, try to get that win, you know, on that side of the field, or, you know, where you want to get that mismatch and that. So that's been fun and challenging, because that, you know, and I never even thought about it at first until we got into it deeper, and it's like, yeah, we got an even number here. So it's kind of a little difference. But no, I think it's been fun. It's a challenge. But overall, we kind of morphed to a 3-5 type of defense, you know, our last couple of years playing 11-man. Well, we're basically using that type of front and those types of coverages anyway with the 8-man. So it hasn't really been too big of a deal.
All right.
And honestly, you're better athletes on a good athlete, you know, or on a good 8-man team are going to shine a little bit better on that 8-man team than they are on a poor to average 11-man team, you know, because that's been a question I've gotten too, you know, from even some of the parents, you know, what about my kid's chances of getting looked at? You know, will he get looked at by a college? And I said, well, he'll have more opportunities if he shines playing good on the 8-man team than if he was a bad player stuck on a good player stuck on a bad 11-man team, you know, so.
All right, Coach, appreciate your insight on that, and we'll be following this issue throughout the winter months. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
All right, John Lawler is the head coach at Alden Hebron, talking about the 8-man football again, some more development concerning that. Of course, last year declared an emerging sport. We'll have more on WRMJ and WRMJ.com in a moment.